New research this month revealed the states most likely to develop a gambling addiction. Connecticut ranking in the top 10. Data from gambling experts at RG looked at the average number of monthly Google searches in every state for over 100 terms related to gambling addiction, and Connecticut landed in the ninth place. So I wanted to talk to Diana Good, Executive Director of the Connecticut Council on Problem Gambling, why Connecticut could be struggling with this. Are there recent trends we've seen in the last couple of years, and what resources are available to help? Diana, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me back on.
Of course. I know, Diana, we've checked in maybe once or twice a year since Connecticut passed a law allowing gambling online as well as sports betting. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the last couple of years, you've seen a real uptick in calls.
We have seen a real uptick. And I always start these interviews by saying the Connecticut Council isn't for or against gambling. We just want to make sure that as gambling becomes easier and more accessible, that there are safeguards in place. And certainly with online gambling, it's way more accessible and easy to gamble. And we're seeing a lot of that in Connecticut, especially.
That's so true. And I'm always glad that you share that, because so many times things get, I think, misconstrued, especially because we do live in very political times and people always think there are agendas. But I do want to reiterate what Diana just shared, which is Connecticut Council on Problem Gambling is literally a resource. They are not telling you you shouldn't gamble. They're not obviously telling you that you need to gamble. What they're saying is, hey, we're here. If you decide you want to gamble, great. But we're here for you if things get out of control. We want to help you to get more control, gain control, and come up with ways to hopefully get you out of debt as well. Now, Diana, I'm curious. The last time you and I checked in 2023, we saw that a substantial amount of the calls you're getting were either coming from young people or the parents of young people. Is that still the case in Connecticut?
It's definitely still the case in Connecticut. Most of the calls we're getting are 20-something males calling about sports betting or their parents.
So we're talking about college or post-college-aged men.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of it is because of the targeting of the ads. Everyone is really focusing in on sports betting. You can make a lot of money. Here's a free sample. You know, try it out. And I think they're really targeting men, young men, in that way. I also think that a lot of times younger men, younger women think that they can figure this out. They know. They've watched sports. They've, you know, bet on sports when it was illegal just with their friends, and they've theoretically won. And so they really think that they can figure this out. They've got a handle on it. They know better. They listen to the experts. I think another big problem is all of the TV shows that we now have about how to bet on sports, about how to look at the odds, about how to know when something's going to happen. So I think that's a real big problem as well.
And again, we have Diana Good here, who is the executive director for Connecticut Council on Problem Gambling. We will give you their website and phone number at the end of this interview in case you need them. And, you know, let's talk about the mindset, Diana. You started to kind of scratch the surface on it. The mindset, especially for younger people who this is their first time legally gambling or sports betting, there's this thought that at some point I'm going to win. I mean, at some point I'm going to make money. And how hard can this be? There's a 50% chance one team's going to win, the other one's not going to win. Right? I mean, in that kind of spirals.
Except with the odds, it's not necessarily, I mean, one is going to win and one is going to lose, but you know, the point spread, there's all of these other dynamics that come into play when you're looking at sports betting that make it all more complicated. And again, the house always wins. That's a saying that we've always said, and it's for a reason. You know, they're setting the points, they're setting the odds, not in your favor. And I think a lot of times kids don't understand that.
Yeah, and I know something else, Diana, that has become incredibly difficult is the fact that, you know, not just advertising, because you're right, I can't think of one game, one sport in just the last year. We've become very hyper aware of it. My husband and I, when we watch hockey, basketball, baseball, football, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is, college level, professional level, they're it's constant that they're now on the side of the screen showing, you know, the bets of or what the analysts believe is the percentage of this team taking it all. It's wild. It's constantly shoved in your face. But the other thing that has become incredibly difficult is the fact that it's so accessible, right? I mean, people don't have to go to a casino anymore or go to a place where you're allowed to sports gamble. You could do it on your phone, which is also right. terrifying.
It's very, very terrifying. It's way too easy. And again, if we look at 20-something males, another big factor is alcohol. You know, all these kids are getting together. They're drinking or smoking pot. Now that that's also legal, we legalize that at the same time as online gambling. So I think there are a lot of other factors that are leading to kids making poor decisions.
So obviously we know that there has been pushback and there have been calls to either change the law on the books, reverse the law. But for today, I would love to talk, Diana, about what can we proactively do, whether or not Connecticut reverses or changes the laws that are on the books right now, impacting the amount of especially young people getting into problem gambling. What are the signs? How do you know if you are either, I mean, obviously, besides going into debt, what are the signs that you may have a gambling addiction?
Yeah, that's a great one. Going into debt, borrowing money from friends, also a preoccupation on gambling. If that's something that you're thinking about all the time, you're wondering when the next game is, you're checking your phone to see what the odds are, all of those things, it's really a preoccupation and obsession with gambling and the idea that you think you're going to win your money back. And you have to play more in order to win your money back. That's also a real issue for us. Because the odds are you're not going to win your money back, and it's only going to get worse. One of the other things that we've done in the last couple of years is set up a website called responsibleplayct.org, and that is all about responsible play. It's how to make sure you're setting limits, time limits, money limits. A lot of tips and tricks are on that website. So, again, we're not for or against gambling. So if people want to gamble responsibly, they want to gamble less, they want to gamble within their means, that's a great website to just go check out to make sure that you're staying within all the guidelines that you set. And also within the apps, you can also set guidelines. So there are responsible play sections on FanDuel, DraftKings, and Fanatics where you can set your own limits there. So when you get to the financial limit that you've set, you get a pop-up that says, you know what, you just spent the money that you wanted to spend for the month, for the day, for the year. So those are great tips and tricks also so that people can continue to gamble responsibly.
We're talking about problem gambling and gambling addiction here in Connecticut. We have Diana Good here, who's the executive director of the Connecticut Council on Problem Gambling, which, to remind folks, they are not for or against gambling. They are simply a resource to make sure if you feel you are struggling with addiction or you have proven to be struggling with a gambling addiction, they're there for you to help you, you know, overcome that and certainly come up with strategies to avoid it continuing to be a problem. Diana, I'd love to get your take on two different things. One, what conversations, in your professional opinion, should be happening at home, especially before students go off to college? What should be discussed? If your kids have a cell phone, if they have access to the internet, if they have access to a bank account, especially for the first time, what should be discussed with these kids, with young adults?
So I think a lot of it is budgeting. It's funny because, I mean, I've sent three kids off to college and we talked about a lot of things. You know, we talked about safe sex. We talk about drugs. We talk about alcohol. And for us, we just want gambling to be one of the things that's on the list. It's one of the things that you talk to your kids about it being a risky behavior and about how it is another thing that can also get out of control. So I think just having those open discussions with kids about all of those things before they go to college is really important. But one of the things that we really try to focus on is budgeting. You know, again, if kids want to gamble, if they're legally old enough to gamble and that's the way they want to spend their disposable income, that's fine. But they should understand the risks of that and take a look at budgeting. It's one of the things that's on our Responsible Play website, just so you understand what you're spending. And you have a handle on that, and you know when you've gone over that budget, what are the strategies to get back on track?
And it's interesting you say that, because that's the second part of my question. I know that Connecticut is rolling out. They've approved a law, which I believe is going to start this upcoming year, where seniors across Connecticut, if you're in the public school district, you are now required to complete a financial literacy course before graduation. I'm curious if you feel like that is going to make a difference, or, you know, even just discussing, I've had financial advisors on this show. They feel like financial literacy should actually be something in some regard we're introducing as young as elementary and kind of continuing to incorporate it in the school districts all the way through high school. What do you think?
I think that'd be great. I think having those discussions earlier makes so much sense. And it really, if you look at stats, it really does help with preventative. You know, I look at what we've done with cigarettes. I mean, I don't know. You sound super young, and I'm not super young. But I look at what we've done with cigarettes in these past, you know, 30 years. We've really made it so cigarettes are really not a cool thing anymore.
Yes,
we've done a lot of education. Started really young. Look at the advertising that we can't do there. So I think it's possible. People look at me and say, if you look at all the money that's being brought in by gambling, it's not a fair fight. You're never going to make a difference. And I feel like we can, as long as we're educating kids, people, everybody, about the dangers of gambling, about how to gamble responsibly, and about how it's not risk-free, just like we did with cigarettes. Even, yeah, I think that'd be great.
Right? I mean, I agree. I mean, I I was born in 1990, so I agree with you. The last 30 years, it has been an incredible shift from, I remember growing up in the 90s, and there were the commercials really encouraging people to try smoking and having the characters who were, you know, oh, this is amazing. We should all be doing it and all that. And then it felt like as we got into the early 2000s, there was this huge shift, and you saw that, you know, lung cancer, the sole creator of that is when you're a smoker. And all of a sudden, the advertising really became, don't ever touch these things. And I have to say, I think, especially my generation, I feel like we were one of the first to, you know, like, I've never touched a cigarette. You couldn't pay me to touch a cigarette. And I think so many of the people I grew up around, they're the same way. If they tried it once, they never did it again. So I agree with you. I think that we've seen it where it can work. But we still have an awful lot of work to do, especially if we're seeing more and more states like our own, which is really encouraging people to get into gambling, get into sports betting, which, again, can be done, but needs to be done responsibly. So right. If we're going to do it, having just the knowledge of how to even handle finances, that should be kind of working alongside with the emergence of online gambling and sports betting.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
And again, I do want to let people know there are some really great resources online as well as a hotline that you can access. First of all, you can always go to the Connecticut Council on Problem Gambling. Their website is ccpg.org, simple as that. Or there's another site that Diana just introduced us to a couple of minutes ago, responsibleplayct.org. And those are obviously available to you at any time. Diana, I want to thank you for always making the time to come on WICC and sharing this really important information. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show. It's great to talk to you again.
I agree. I love chatting with you, too. Diana Good, again, Executive Director of the Connecticut Council on Problem Gambling on WICC.